Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth Children's Corner Show. For network or show information, visit www.BiteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show, Children's Corner. And today, my very special guest is Catherine Camp-Gailey, and we're going to be talking about her upcoming book, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow. Catherine is a certified nutritional counselor with a master's degree in business and a successful career as a management consultant. She is founder of the national nonprofit organization Nurture and the for-profit Healthy Solutions of Sun Valley. Catherine is a speaker to various organizations, including nonprofits, schools, and corporations. She's involved in the thriving small business community in Ketchum, Idaho, as a mentor for the Ketchum Innovation Center. As a sought-after wellness expert, Catherine is often interviewed by leading media and hosts her own radio show on workplace wellness at KDPI-FM in Ketchum, Idaho. Her book, Mountain Mantras, Wellness and Life Lessons from the Slopes, won several awards and was number one bestseller on Amazon in the snow skiing category in 2015. For more information, you can visit several different websites. I have in the show page description, one for Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, one for her as a speaker, one as executive director of Nurture, and one of as founder of Health, founder of Healthy Kids. So with that, let me go ahead and welcome Catherine to the show. Good day. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much, Robert. It's a pleasure to be on the Children's Corner.
I appreciate that, and I love people who work, you know, with helping our children, and it sounds like you've got that niche of nutrition is just so important. So, let's start first of all, as a nutritional expert, how would you describe the state of affairs, so to speak, with nutrition and children nowadays?
Well, I will say that there are some scary statistics out there. One out of three kids will develop diabetes if they follow the standard American diet. That's a real wake-up call, and that's actually how I got into the business. I mean, when I heard that statistic, I said, okay, I need to be on a mission to help out. The statistics are even more alarming for minorities, so Latinos and African Americans. So that's actually where I started with my nonprofit, is working with low-income families and teaching them how to cook on a budget and getting their families and children to try new foods. So that's sort of the bad news, but there's a lot of great news, and I really like to focus on the positive when I work with families and groups and organizations. One of the big positives out there is that there's just so much more awareness around this issue. When I got into this business about 10 years ago, going to, funders for organizations like to get grants, you'd actually have to create a case that says that these kinds of programs and education is important. Now, everybody's pretty much on the same page, understanding that this is an issue that needs to be addressed in a collaborative way, and that really leads into another really sort of bright light in this whole landscape, and that's that there are so many organizations out there that are working together, that are making, making free resources available widely. So Michelle Obama's Let's Move initiative is one I'd mentioned. Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution is actually coming up on May 20th, so just a couple weeks away, and that's always really exciting, and he's got a whole group of ambassadors, I'm one of them, that work across the globe, to raise awareness around kids, nutrition, wellness, and cooking at home. And then I'll just mention one more, and there's a whole big landscape around this, but the Edible Food Yard Project, which is Alice Waters' project, is fantastic. And, you know, I can't leave out Center for Science and the Public Interest. They do a food day every fall, October 24th. So there's just really a lot of not only groups to get involved with and to learn from, but there's all these resources that so many of these groups are putting out there, and everybody is making these resources available for free. So it's just great to be able to tap into all of this. And that's one of the things I do, is I try to point people to free resources.
That's great. Boy, you know, it really is important. And if, you know, with so many organizations, you know, it seems that that is like the best way to tackle a problem. You know, and you come to it from so many different, you know, ways that, you know, basically it becomes hard to ignore, you know, in the sense, you know, that it's like, okay, you know, I need to pay attention. So, I mean, raising awareness is critical, you know, to at least get to the point then of the next step of taking action, you know, to help remedy the situation.
Absolutely, yeah, and there really, again, has been so much going on across the last 10 years that I've been involved in, with schools and with food pantries and social service agencies. Everybody's really working together, and it's just so fun to be part of a collaborative effort.
Yeah. Now, the Eat a Rainbow, or Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow. But now, tell the listeners how that all came about.
Oh, well, so I mentioned that I've been working with schools over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We started with, this is all under Nurture, which anyone can find out more about at nurtureyourfamily.org. We actually provide free programming to schools, and we really try to hit schools that might have a lot of students on free or reduced lunch, you know, that might need some extra assistance. But we've been doing programs to get kids to eat their fruits and vegetables. Another alarming statistic is that 91% of kids do not get their daily requirement of vegetables. So we're talking about most kids are not getting their 3 servings a day or more. So one of the things that we do at schools is we have these rainbow days, and that's just a really fun way to get kids engaged in eating colorful fruits and vegetables. Every color of the rainbow actually has a scientific basis for helping out your body, and I can go through those, but that's just sort of the sideline of, you know, sort of making, how to make science really actionable and how to make it fun. And so we've been doing these rainbow days, and the teachers love them, the administration loves them, the parents love them, and most importantly, the kids love them. But what we saw is that there's a lot of momentum that gets built up around the Rainbow Day, and then we see snacks improving, we see lunches improving. But once that Rainbow Day has passed, and then, you know, we all forget, that we all move on to new things, then sort of the excitement dies down. So the impetus behind the creation of the book, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, was to have sort of a leave behind something that kids can access all year round. I mean, kids love to read, and I'm thrilled to support literacy. And, you know, to be able to read a book that actually has, it's a fun book, there's a journey in it, it's magical, it's engaging, we've tested it with hundreds of kids and they all love it. But it's very educational in that they're getting exposed to a large variety of fruits and vegetables, they're naming them, they're getting engaged with them, they're seeing the benefits to their own bodies, and they see that through the benefits that the character Blake gets from the fruits and vegetables. So it's, again, just sort of a part of this educational, you know, creating more legs to this whole educational process.
Yeah, you know, that's great. And you know, the idea of being able to, you know, have a book that can easily be referenced, you know, is really something that I'm sure would help with, you know, keeping it in the, you know, in the forefront. And now, you know, you mentioned, you know, each of the colors having some, you know, scientific, you know, application, or for each color there's something scientifically that would help with nutrition. So I would like to go through that. I mean, because I can see, I can just see kids going through and wanting to make sure they had something from every color, you know. I mean, it's like, I didn't have any green today, or I didn't have anything blue. You know how kids are. They'd want a complete rainbow, you know.
Absolutely. And what I've learned, again, working directly with kids over so many years, is that, you know, especially younger kids, you know, they really like to identify with a part of their body, and it becomes a kinetic learning. So, like, when I go to a school and we start talking about red, you know, I know as a nutritionist that there's lycopene in red. It's very good for your cardiovascular system. It's very good for your heart. It's good for your mind, for your brain. So I tell kids when we're talking about red and we go through the different fruits and vegetables that are red, I talk about how it's good for your heart, and I have the kids all put their hands over their heart. And then I have the kids put their hands on their brain, and I talk about how red's really good for your brain. And they remember that because it's this multi-sensory experience. You know, they're looking at the book. You know, they're seeing the fruits and vegetables. Hopefully we have some there, and I always bring along, you know, I call them the mystery food bags, you know, so that I have them so they can reach in, they can touch, they can smell. And then they have this sort of kinetic of, you know, touching the part of their body that it's benefiting. So that's red. And then I group yellow and orange together. And those are really, you know, high in vitamin A, vitamin C, really good for eyes, for skin, you know, vision, eyes, hair, and also the immune system, so avoiding a cold. And kids love that. So I usually just have them point to their eyes because they can always remember. And a lot of kids actually know, like, carrots are really good for your eyes. But again, it's the vitamin A, the vitamin C, and, you know, kind of helping out the immune system. So that's sort of the connection with yellow and orange. And I always ask him at the end of the lesson, you know, what does yellow and orange do? You know, they point to their eyes. It helps with vision. And then it helps me to avoid a cold. Nobody likes getting a cold. Then we talk about green, and a lot of green vegetables are really high in calcium. And so I really point to teeth, and I talk about the importance of healthy teeth and bones. And actually some of the green vegetables like kale and spinach, they have more calcium, you know, per ounce than dairy products. So I have nothing against dairy, but I really try to push that, and kids love the idea of having, you know, strong teeth and bones. Nobody, you know, I think anyone like going to the dentist. Nobody raises their hand. Uh-huh. So I have them point to their teeth, and, you know, sometimes they, you know, grab their arm or whatever. So that's green. And then blue and purple is the second to last color that we go through. We go through five total groups. Blue and purple, they have antioxidants. So things like blueberries and blackberries are super high in antioxidants, and that's really good for all over. Now, I never talk about cancer with kids. I don't talk about aging because, frankly, that's not on their radar screen. I just say it's good for your whole body, and I sort of have them hug their whole body, and they love that. And, you know, when they think about blue and purple, and then finally, we include white. Kids are always surprised by how many fruits and vegetables are actually white. And most of those fruits and vegetables are high in fiber, and they're high in potassium. And so that's really good for our digestive system. So I have the kids rub their tummies. And then so when they're learning about, you know, potatoes and turnips and jicama, you know, they're rubbing their tummies, and they're really associating that. And in the book, with all of these color groups, as Blake, the character, goes through, there's some magic that he experiences, or she, because the character could either be a boy or a girl, which is really fun for readers. And so there's a little star, there's like a little magic shown, you know, with red on the heart and on the brain, and yellow and the vision, and green on the teeth, and blue and purple, you know, all around, and then white on Blake's tummy. So again, it's sort of multi-sensory to kind of really reinforce the learning, which is important for kids.
Oh, exactly, exactly. And now I do want to let the listeners know that on your nurtureyourfamily.org website that they can download a PDF parent handout, you know, that, you know, they can kind of quickly reference a lot of the things that you covered, but it also lists so many of the foods within each of those categories. And so that's something that they can go to right now and start the process of, you know, of incorporating it. And then, of course, when the book is available, go out and buy the book and create that little extra magic. I think that's a wonderful thing that you offer, you know, that particular handout. I think, you know, for parents, it's so much easier if I can just go and I can just look at, you know, suggestions, you know what I mean, as far, you know, like the different types of in the white or the green, It just makes it so much easier, you know, because parents sometimes are so wrapped up in, you know, their life that sometimes it's hard to think of, you know, orange or yellow. You know, what can I have that can include that in a child's diet? So that's a really great handout.
Absolutely, and you're right. I mean, it's amazing. Even teachers sometimes, you know, if they're assigned the green color and I come and do a lesson, they're surprised by how many things are green across the whole fruit, you know, and vegetable family. So it having these resources that teachers can pull, that parents can pull, and we're putting more and more on giveitagoeatarainbow.com. And again, you don't even have to buy the book. You can just access these resources for free. And there's a downloadable Blake character that actually kids love. I've been using that a lot with schools, is that you can actually download the character. And the kids and the teachers have been doing this in some of the schools I've been visiting. The kids will actually color in Blake. And when I mentioned that Blake can be a boy or a girl, it's really sweet to see the kids really, you know, they might change Blake's hair or put Blake in a different, you know, set of clothing. And then, you know, some kids put, they cut out the Blake and they'll put it on a little popsicle stick and they'll have this whole sort of puppet. But the idea is that then when they go to snack time or lunch time, they bring Blake with, and they know that Blake really likes fruits and vegetables. So, and then, you know, that it's, Blake is going to be really excited if they choose a colorful variety of fruits and vegetables. So anyway, that the idea is to almost have Blake sort of be a companion for the kids as they go through their snack times and their meal times.
Wow, that's great. That's great. And I love the ability to be male or female, because it, you know, boy or girl, because it can, you know, I think if there's that gender identity that they can really, it just seems to make, you know, make it, I think, much more, you know, more fun and easily kind of create this relationship, so to speak, with the character.
Absolutely, and from an ethnic standpoint too, you know, when you color in Blake, Blake's skin can be any color, which I think is really great. And when I've gone to schools with a lot of, you know, diverse populations, I always encourage that. You know, we can get really creative with Blake. And I learned with this book process that the more simple the illustrations, the more the kids are able to connect. If it's a really detailed illustration, it might be more difficult to try to fit in. So the Blakes are very simple, and actually they remind a lot of teachers of Flat Stanley. Now, Flat Stanley is a book I read as a kid, and then when my kids were going through elementary school, they were using Flat Stanley printouts the same kind of way as we were talking about the Blake printouts. Teachers would just hand them out to the kids. The kids would cut them out. They'd mail them to their grandparents, and their grandparents would take pictures of Flat Stanley. And the idea was to get kids excited about exploration and adventure, you know, travel. That was what Flat Stanley was all about. But Blake can actually do the very same thing. We're just trying to get people excited about fruits and vegetables and healthy eating. So maybe grandma can take a picture, you know, with a colorful rainbow, you know, salad or a fruit and veggie platter, and Blake's there. And then if grandma's really savvy on social media, she can put Blake on social media, that picture, and then put a hashtag, Blake Eats a Rainbow, and that feeds onto our tag board, which is really starting to be fun because it includes a community. Anyone that's wanting to build a community around healthy eating can use that that hashtag.
Oh, that's great. You know, and also I would think that it would just be a wonderful resource for ideas, you know, and just what people experience. And I mean, and that kind of thing, it tends to snowball once you get that rolling.
Absolutely. I didn't realize that food is one of the most photographed things out there, especially on Instagram. It's huge. People love to show other people what they're eating. And so the creative team on this book, we kind of sat down and we said, well, if we have this going for us in terms of being a trend, why don't we use this to our advantage and get people excited about taking pictures of healthy foods? And you're right. people will see what other people are eating and they might be inspired. They'll, you know, oh, why don't I build a rainbow of, you know, of blueberries and carrots and kale and blueberries and then jicama at the bottom. You know, why don't I do that? Or, you know, maybe have my own variation. But you're right. Sometimes seeing other people's ideas can give inspiration.
Yeah. I had a gentleman on my show probably about a month and a half ago. His book was called Transformational Nutrition. And I follow him on Facebook, and it's funny because quite often he'll be posting his plate, and it'll be a very colorful array, you know, that he assembles. And it's like, you know, and it's like a work of art, you know, that plate. And, you know, it's funny because I've gotten some really wonderful ideas, you know, for nutritional meals just from looking at that.
Absolutely. I mean, and it can be as simple as having a colorful, beautiful plate. When I wrote my first book, which is on wellness, and it's a much more holistic book. It's actually a story of our family's journey from Chicago to a small mountain town and sort of the lessons that I learned from it and applying that to life success and also to wellness. And that's called Mountain Mantras. But for that book, I interviewed a lot of Olympic skiers and Olympic athletes, and I wanted to get their secrets to how they fuel their bodies for optimal performance. And frankly, I thought that they were going to have these really obscure secrets. And you know what it comes down to? The Olympians, they do this. They do eat a rainbow. And when they go out, because they travel a lot as a team, when they go to a restaurant, mm-hmm. because they're very competitive too, they have competitions among the team who can put the most number of colors of fruits and vegetables on their plate. I mean, that's how mm-hmm. that's as simple as the advice was from the Olympians on how to eat well. Everybody can do it.
Wow, that's great. I want to take just a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners, if you have any questions that you would like to ask Catherine, feel free to call in. The number is 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in, and we'll get to them right after the break. And then when we come back, Catherine, I want to talk, first of all, I noticed that your book has a Kickstarter associated with your book, a Kickstarter campaign. So I'm going to start, when we come back, talking a little bit about that and how people can become involved, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there. Or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc. And we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide. Books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, my very special guest today is Catherine Kemp Guillet, and we're talking about her upcoming book, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, regarding children's nutrition. Again, in the show page description, I have several links for you to to go to and find out more. There's one, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow. And there's one for Catherine as a speaker. If you are a nonprofit organization or a school organization that you would like to have her come and speak, you can find out information there. Also, more about Nurture, the website, and also, let's see, what else? Oh, founder of Healthy Kids. So there are a lot of places you can go to find out more information about Catherine. So anyway, with that, Catherine, we're back.
Great. Thanks. Thank you for having me on the show. It's great.
Sure, great. Yeah, you've got so many places people can go to kind of find out about you and get wonderful information. So that's really great. So let's talk about your Kickstarter campaign, okay? What is the current status? And maybe if someone wants to get involved, what are some of the different kinds of ways that they can do that?
Sure. You're going to love this story, Robert, because it's just amazing how the publishing industry works today. So the children's book, the Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow book, is a 54-page book. And it, you know, it actually is longer than a typical early education children's book. Usually publishers cap their pages to 32 pages. And our team worked really hard on, again, we went through the five color groups. We wanted to tell a story. We wanted to engage the readers. And we wanted to have it be a journey. And without, you know, we didn't want to cram things onto every page. We wanted it to be this, you know, almost like luxurious visual experience, because that visual, especially of those fruits and vegetables, is so important. So when we went to the publishing companies to talk to them about partnering with us, all of them said, you know what? No kid's going to be able to pay attention for 54 pages. And so they all turned us down. And we, you know, and I've got an art educator that works with K through 8 kids every single day. And she was sure that the method that we were using, it's called augmented reality, it combines, you know, the drawn illustrations with, you know, amazing photography, and it really engages the reader. She's like, well, let's just try this out and do beta testing. So we've proved the publishers wrong by going to, you know, many schools and hundreds of kids and sitting in circles with, you know, early childhood age groups all the way up through fifth grade. And we never saw a kid yawn, be bored. I mean, we only saw the kids be excited and ask for more. We left books in the classroom, and, you know, the teachers are like, wow. You know, when you do the final print of this book, make sure it's really well put together, because the pages are starting to fall out. The kids love it so much, right? This is for, you know, our beta testing print. So because we didn't have any backing from a major publisher, and we have what we think is an incredible product, we did a Kickstarter, and it's really cool. And again, I wouldn't have known about some of these sort of technology, you know, advancements if it hadn't been for the younger members on my team. The designer's very young, you know, Kara, the art educator, works with kids, and the illustrator is my son. I mentioned earlier in the interview how important it is for the illustrations to be simple enough that the kids can identify with, but yet high quality enough that, you know, that they can carry through. And he worked with the this art educator for months, really, to get it right. And it's really come out to be a wonderful product. And so it was his idea. My son is now 13, but he was 12 when this project was going on. He said, Mom, I learned about some of my favorite books and artists from Kickstarter. And he reminded me that I had, you know, backed some projects myself, and they were actually books on Kickstarter. So he said, why don't we do that? Because the color printing costs are expensive. And about Kickstarter is that you either make it or you get nothing. So it's one of these things where it's a, you know, you're really making a commitment. You've got to deliver to your backers, and you can create all these really fun reward levels. So it's not just books that we're giving away. We're giving away consultations at a rate that I would never. I put like a really discounted rate on there just because I wanted people to. You know, to back it at that level. We put original artwork, which is so cool. That's been a really popular reward. We're almost out. But you asked how it's going. We are well over 50% of our goal, and we're not even halfway through our timeline. So I think we're going to make it, and we're really excited. We're so appreciative. We're doing 30 days. We have 30 days left, and we're doing 30 days of gratitude. And so we're going to throw in some extra gifts to people, and it's just a lot of fun. And it's at Kickstarter.com, and you just type in, give it a go, eat a rainbow, and you can find it.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, I went on there and I looked, and yeah, you're 60% now, right? So, I'm confident that you'll make it, and it's you know, those are really good incentives, you know, rewards, you know, that you have offered, and so I definitely want people out there who are listening to go there and give the Kickstarter, give it a good kick, you know, kick it up a bit for Catherine. So anyway, yes, and you know, I was going to ask about the illustrations. So Alex, your son, he's the one that worked with the illustrations, huh?
It's incredible, and it's, you know, I'm a big believer in the law of attraction and how the universe provides. You know, when you're doing something for the higher good, the universe can help you out. And so I had, this book had been a dream of mine for many years, and I didn't know how to do it because I wanted to make sure that there were real pictures of fruits and vegetables, because as I mentioned before, when I was working with some schools, especially in, you know, in lower income areas, a lot of kids had never seen a pomegranate. They'd never seen peaches. You know, so when we would start to talk about them, they would be so hesitant to try them because they had never even seen them. So why would they want to taste them, right? So that was sort of part of it, was just we've got to get the real fruits and vegetables in there, because if kids really love the book, they're going to read it a lot. They'll become more comfortable with, you know, the fruits and vegetables, and it'll just get them further along the process of trying. So how to show, you know, then we were thinking about, could we do the whole book using just photography, and that was too hard. And so then when I went and talked to Kara about this augmented reality, she was the one that, you know, sort of came up with, you know, she showed me some videos and how it worked, and then I'm like, okay, well, I need to find an illustrator. And the universe, like I said, provided. I was walking by my son's art studio, and there was a picture of a wizard. And we actually show that in our Kickstarter video, sort of how I had found his artwork, and I went, oh, my gosh, that's perfect. Of course, I just stole that picture, brought it to Kara, and said, what do you think? And she said, let's do it.
Well, that's great, you know, and it is wonderful that, you know, it's like once you set the intention for that to happen, that, and you keep your eyes open and let others know about what it is that you're doing, the right resources, the right people, and all that kind of thing come to you. And, you know, and it's not surprising that the publishing industry turned it down. You know, I mean, you know, it's one of these things that it kind of drives me crazy. I mean, there's a whole brand new paradigm going on in publishing, and it's like, you know, everybody but the publishers get that, you know. You know, and it's good because it gives you the opportunity now to have these backers who have you know, a personal interest in helping you make that dream come true, and for a lot of people, it's a wonderful way to do that, because, you know, quite often we want to contribute, you know, to someone's success, but how do you do that, you know, and that is a perfect way of doing that.
And what's so great about this Kickstarter, too, is that it almost gets a market. You can test the market for a product before you, you know, before you put the money out there, you know, to make it happen. So it's a really, there's a, you know, and they have the video. You know, you really have to be able to tell your story well. You have to know your stuff before you can even put anything up on Kickstarter. And like I mentioned, we've backed projects and we've found out about fantastic things and great books. And you're right that the industry is changing, and it's really important that, you know, that folks that really want to get a message out there, that there are some alternative ways to do that. You know, I heard a quote recently that, you know, the difference between the person that you are today and the person that you're going to be in a year are the people that you meet and the books you read. You know, so books have a huge impact on our communities and our society. And I really think, you know, there was no other book that I could find out there that could support the work that I was doing with kids and nutrition. And so I think this is an important book to come to life.
Yeah, I agree. And, boy, it's nice to know about that that idea of the people you meet in the books. I read hundreds of books a year now because of the radio show, and it is interesting because So often now, you know, if someone comes to me with a question or for advice or maybe any ideas, it's like I can pull out any kind of book or author. It's like, go here and check that out. You know, that might help you. And it's so important, especially for children to foster the connection with books, because they're going to be, you know, for the next 18 years, going to be working through college, working with books, and it's really important to be able to have a healthy relationship with books and reading.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I love the comments from the teachers about make it really sturdy, Catherine, because you want
right.
these books to be something that are loved, that are cherished, that are brought along and read in car seats and on trips. And yeah, so we're, you know, when we went out to quote the project, we were having it's a sewn book, meaning it's put together really well
mm-hmm.
and on really nice, thick, durable paper. So yeah, I agree. You know, books should be cherished and from the very youngest of ages. I mean, I think babies should be read to, you know, from day one. Or
yeah,
in the womb.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, yes. Well, you know, I want to take what time we have, about 10 minutes we have remaining. And I want to mention, you know, we talked about a couple times, you know, the website nurtureyourfamily.org. So would you mind sharing with the listeners, you know, what your mission is for that particular organization and what are some of the things that they could find on there?
Sure. So we can start with Nurture. So Nurture is a nonprofit organization. So, you know, we have, we can take donations and give tax exemptions for those donations. And we've been around for about 10 years. And our mission is really to educate children and families. And we found that there were a lot of programs that were educating children, and there were some that were educating adults. But we really were looking for that unique combination of the adults, the child and parent, even grandparent connection. So what we do is we work with organizations, we work with schools, we work with individuals to educate people on what we see as the three big obstacles to eating healthy. And the three obstacles are time, budget, and know-how. And so we actually have, we give away a lot of slow cookers and rice cookers, you know, to address the whole time thing. People are amazed when they come to our classes, and we tell them, I just did a class last week on slow cookers, and I'm doing a couple classes the next couple of days. But I will tell them, we'll give them a slow cooker, and I'll say, if you have 5 minutes in the morning, because a lot of these people are working multiple jobs. We had a person in our class last week that was on disability. You know, so time is a huge issue. And so
mm-hmm.
we say 5 minutes in the morning, put these things, you know, in the pot and turn it on. And when you get home, your house will smell good. You can pass up the fast food restaurants. You can avoid the processed things in the freezer or in the cans. And you can come right to, and sit down to a home-cooked meal. And they couldn't believe it. The class was only an hour long. And the first half an hour was taken up by some other material that the hospital was giving them. So I had 30 minutes, and in 30 minutes I told them how to use the slow cooker, and we created 10 recipes based on the participants' tastes, like what they wanted to cook. And so they were amazed to be able to walk out with all of these ideas to overcome the time. On budget, everything that I talk about is usually based on foods that you can get very inexpensive but are very healthy. So lentils, split peas, beans, you know, really good proteins, lean proteins that aren't really expensive. Sure, I'm a fan of, you know, of meats and too, and the butchers
mm-hmm.
often can give away bones. You can make bone broths in the slow cookers. But really, you know, finding ways to make the meals, and I told the families $1.50 or less is what we're shooting for when we're actually pricing out our meals. And you can do that. You can have a protein and grain and fruits and vegetables all for $1.50 or less per serving, as long as you can cook it. And then the last thing is the know-how, and that's where the cooking classes come into play. So that's really the mission, is to overcome those obstacles so that people can get back in the kitchen with confidence.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's Oh, that's a really wonderful, a wonderful thing to do. I mean, you know, and, you know, like I mentioned, you know, with time, I mean, that does seem to be very, very limited for parents nowadays. And now also on that website, I believe you have healthy recipes that people can do, and also some workshops, that kinds of things that people, if they're interested in having a workshop, that they can contact you there?
Absolutely. And the class that I was just describing, that included parents with their children. So it's really, like I said, we're trying to span across the ages to involve everybody together, because I think cooking really needs to be about the family.
Yeah, very much so. Well, now, let's see, I guess we should probably talk just a little bit about your other book, the one that you have. Unfortunately, I don't have it right here with me. What was the name of your book? Mountain Mantras Wellness. So that's one that people can get, and you said that's about your trip to Colorado?
Well, we're in Idaho, so it's about our journey.
Oh, Idaho.
In many sort of parallels, sort of like a journey of sort of the physical, like we moved, right? And then what did we learn?
Mm-hmm.
And what sort of lessons did we learn along the way? And actually, it's really interesting because we live in Idaho where there's mountains, and I was not a skier. And so the mountain mantras actually were the things that I would repeat to myself, because mantras really are these phrases, like high-power phrases that can be repeated in order to gain
mm-hmm.
power. They were phrases that I repeated to myself in order to overcome my fear of being in the mountains and trying to learn how to ski. And so it was really interesting. My husband's a great skier, and kids learn really, really fast. But as an adult, having to face and overcome fear was such a an important lesson. I learned so much along the way about positive psychology, about creating visions for many things in your life, including wellness, for setting goals, overcoming failure, and then just really committing and overcoming fear. So that book really kind of covers all of those, but tied together through this personal set of stories about our journey, about my work in a nonprofit, and all of those things, from vision to setting goals and to overcoming failures, all within my very own home, including stories about my kids. So it's really a storytelling book. A lot of people tell me it makes them laugh out loud, like they'll be sitting in a cafe reading it and be chuckling, and people will look at them. I mean, it's just sort of it's not your typical nutrition and wellness book, because I really wanted to create a book that was maybe for somebody that wouldn't reach for a wellness book, that wouldn't reach for a nutrition book, but might reach for this, because it's more storytelling based and sort of humor based, but at the same time, you're going to get a lot of lessons, along the way.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. I like it when you can kind of slide, that little educational aspect into when it comes to reading books, people, I think, become more engaged when there's a story, and that, even through reading a story, whatever the lessons or the messages are within that story, they're always conveyed. But just the fact that it's in a story format, it just makes it, I think, more enjoyable reading, and you're bound to engage people more that way.
Absolutely. Storytelling is so powerful. I mean, and that's also why I wrote the Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow book using a story, of this transformation of this character, Blake. He or she, starts out, with cookies and candy and cupcakes and everything all around Blake, and you can tell that Blake is low energy and just doesn't look, very happy or energetic, yet the other kids around him are playing, or her are playing.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see through this journey is that at the end of the book, yes, Blake has found fruits and vegetables, but is now, the one running along with the kite and is smiling and has energy. So, but there's this whole journey, sort of, there's magic, there's a Wizard of Oz theme, there's a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So it's the same kind of thing with this kids book, is, we're telling a story that's fun and engaging, but there's some really profound nutritional advice in there. We're just kind of sneaking it in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Catherine, this has really been a wonderful show. I really love your project. I think it's really something that is so necessary, you know, and, you know, just from what I can see, it looks like it's got that high quality, you know, and it's engaging. So that's, you know, so kudos to you for that. And I'm going to bookmark your Kickstarter page and follow there and make sure that I can guide people that way to help you out.
Well, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to be on your show.
Great. Thank you very much. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Catherine Kemp Gailey, and we've been talking about her upcoming children's book, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow. And again, in the show page description are several links, the Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow. There's also one for her as a speaker, also to nurture. Again, there are a lot of resources there. Check that out. And I've also found her for Healthy Kids. So many, many links for you to find out. And also, if you go to the Kickstarter page, you'll notice that there are more links there as well. So definitely check it all out. If you're in the business of nutrition and children, then there's a lot there for you to absorb. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show, Children's Corner. And until we meet again,
thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth's Children's Corner show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/BiteRadioMe and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at BiteRadioMe, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's BiteRadio.me. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.